thought of spending the evening with a little sharing of our experience in Mayapur during the GBC meeting, rather than a whole long background. When Prabhupada even before Srila Prabhupada came to America, from the time when some property was kind of half donated and then taken back in Jhansi, Prabhupada established a charter for a organization he called the League of Devotees. And in that charter, the League of Devotees, Prabhupada laid down the principles that later became the, in the United States, the corporate document for ISKCON, and in India, the formation of a charitable organization under the Indian charity laws, establishing the principles or the purposes of ISKCON. In those early days, still in India, as well as in the formation of ISKCON in 1966, Prabhupada had the vision, as did his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, for a unique way to continue after his departure, continue the organization that he began. And the common way that that's done is that the very exalted acharya appoints a successor acharya. That's common. Without going over so many histories, that's what's common. But Bhaktisiddhanta didn't do that. Instead, he instructed, after I'm gone, you establish a group of, and he named the group of persons who should collectively look after this organization, Gaudiya Math. So they did that, and then from amongst them, one very prominent Vaishnav had an idea, and his idea is we should elect a successor acharya. So they elected a successor acharya. Except there was another group that wanted another successor acharya, and they broke into two groups. And those two groups broke into many groups, and the whole thing fell apart. So Prabhupada watched that happen. He knew what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted, and they had started that way, but he watched what happened when they didn't maintain it. So when Prabhupada began the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as he was instructed to go to the Western countries and try to bring the group of Bhaktisiddhanta's followers behind a principle that going to the English-speaking parts of the world was not a new idea. It wasn't that Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, was the only one that was asked to do that. Many were asked to do that. In fact, during his time, I have the picture on my wall of Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, striding with the whole group of his sannyasis going forward, because he told all the temples, all the mats, that they should contribute some funds for two most prominent learned sannyasis to go to England and establish Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world. They came back after a few months empty-handed. But it was very clear it's something that Bhaktisiddhanta wanted. So when Prabhupada did it and requested the cooperation of others to help him, there was silence from the other side. So when the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was incorporated in 1966, he from that time and all the time forward established that he what the successor would be. The successor was collective governing body commission members. In fact, the first formal meeting was in 1975, and Prabhupada instructed the devotees, like he did everything else, like how to cook chapatis and how to clean your hands and everything else, how to organize a meeting. He taught them Robert Rules of Order and parliamentary procedure, and all in favor, raise your hand. And so Prabhupada raised his hand along with everybody else and signed the corporate minutes book along with everybody else. The copies of those minutes books are still available. And persons were present who saw Prabhupada raise his hand along with everybody else. And the system was that there would be each governing body commissioner would have a zone, a GBC zone, and he would look after that zone. So that went on for some time, where it became, we're describing this to our group that met today, something like a confederation of states. There may have been something similar in India's history, I don't know, but in America's history, the kids will know because they study American history, or will at some point. Have you studied American history yet? You know about the Civil War? Yeah. So the people in the South, they wanted, after, you know, freedom from England, the you know, war against the British, the Declaration of Independence, they wanted to form a government, but there were two different models of government. One was confederation of states, like really strong on states' rights. The southern states liked that, and the dividing issue was over slavery. We want slavery, states' rights. And the federalists were the people in the north. They said there should be a strong federal government, and state laws are subordinate to federal laws. So there was a civil war over it. And in the beginning, the way that ISKCON had developed was GBCs were responsible for zones. This one with this zone, that one with that zone, and so many zones, but not a clear idea of the governing body commissioner members and how they were to oversee the welfare of the world. That went on for 30 years. More than 30 years. 32, 33 years. Society remained intact because the GBC remained intact collectively. Some members had problems, but collectively, as a group, things remained intact. But then, some of Prabhupada's senior disciples, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, left this world. Sridhar Swami, previously based in Bombay primarily, and also New York and so forth, he left this world. Bhakti Tirtha Swami left this world. We started getting the understanding that, you know, our days are like, not the understanding, but that our days are numbered. And collectively, what should we be doing, the GBC members who are Prabhupada disciples, to see to the, to preserve ISKCON for future generations, besides looking after our GBC zone? So a German-born devotee, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, was the chairman that year, 2008, I think it was. He said, we need to have a meeting where we can plan how globally the GBC, not just this zone, that zone, but what are our responsibilities globally? We knew that there was something, but we hadn't put thought into it. So we conducted a meeting in Italy to give thought. And the first day was amazing. We went around the room and asked, what are our global responsibilities? And it was as clear as mud. which means we didn't have a shared idea. And that was not encouraging at all. It was like very sad. But the next day was much more upbeat. We went around and said, okay, what should we be doing? Did a brainstorming, came out with so many things, then grouped those so many things and came out with committees. We should be preserving Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya for our society, for generations to come. We should be doing something today for that tomorrow. We should have a constitution. Prabhupada said we should have a constitution. Common sense said we should have a constitution. We have set of legislation without a constitution. That's not right. So a group got together, headed Shesha Prabhu, an attorney based in Alachua, worked heading a committee. Not just GBC men's people from different positions have been working for several years on it. If you want to join the Constitution Committee, volunteer and they'll sign you up and you can help them. And preaching or outreach and devotee care and succession of leaders and so many nice things. So we've been having, not just as during Prabhupada's time, a meeting for 7 days, GBC meeting, we added an extra 3 days, just for 4 days, for strategic planning. Like, what's the future? What do we want our future to be? Let's plan today for what our future will be tomorrow. Especially put in place very important things, or either systems or standards or whatever it is. One of the latest thing that just came up was deity standards have gone down worldwide. So we've had this group that's very concerned with devotee care, taking care of the devotees. That's very important. So this other group, they're calling it Krishna care. Taking care of Krishna. Taking care of the standards of deity worship. So it's nice. It's very invigorating. And the way that we conduct our meetings when we get together in Mayapur, or the other meeting is in Juhu in some part of month of October. So Kartik month and just before Gaur Purnima. Those are the two times. We begin with Kirtan, where there's a murti of Srila Prabhupada, and we all gather around Prabhupada's murti and have kirtan. We've already in the morning have had Guru Puja, but we have kirtan for Prabhupada. And then everyone takes their place, sits down. And then we have a reading. Commonly we read from Prabhupada's book a verse in purport. This year, during the strategic planning portion, it's grown so much over the period of 4 years that at our last October meeting, we invited 75 extra people to just help us. And that went so well that we invited another 75 people to come to Mayapur. And that went so well that next Mayapur meeting, we're inviting temple presidents and sannyasis and leading preachers from all around the world to come and join us. Mayapur is a big place. Hope they can accommodate everybody. But that's going to be, instead of 4 days, it's like 7 days or 8 days or something like that, with just strategic planning. Helping temples or groups of geographic areas to think about what plans they'd like to have. Like, create the culture of not just taking care of what you have in front of you, but how to plan what you want to have tomorrow. Where do we want to be? Our assignment was 50 years from now, 70 years from now, imagine we have, instead of 500 Hare Krishna temples worldwide, we have 5,000. And they're all over the world. And What's ISKCON going to look like? What do we want the care of the devotees to look like? What do we want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then what do we need to do today to get there? It's a nice exercise. So at the beginning, this is with like probably 150 people in the room. Someone from the strategic planning team had prepared for each of the 4 days that we met headings. So it would, and they spent a lot of time working on it, getting different lectures or letters or communications from Prabhupada to his leaders, particularly on how to carry Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission forward going into the future. So I'll ask you to do the same thing. Imagine yourselves sitting in a room with Srila Prabhupada, and he's preparing you to take responsibility for this ISKCON, this Hare Krishna movement that he created. And he wants you to know very clearly what he wants of you, how to do it. He's preparing you because he knows he's elderly and he's not going to remain indefinitely. So what are the really important things that such a world acharya would want his followers to know and to understand? The one that I'm going to read was the first day. Lakshmi Moni is the one that principally put this together, but helped with others. And the heading is cooperation. The preview of that is one of the last things that Srila Prabhupada said in his final days in Vrindavan was a very famous statement: your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate together after my departure. Because he had told us, and it's true, after a great acharya disappears, generally there's chaos. I mean, history shows it. Not just in Vaishnavism, just in the world. A great personality, strong, powerful, charismatic leader has many followers. And when the leader disappears, the followers don't have someone to lead them. It becomes chaotic. So Prabhupada didn't want that. One of the reasons why he established the successor was in the hands of several persons, selected by himself, and told, you can expand the numbers. But it wasn't by popular vote, it was the members expand the members. That was the system that he gave us. So, to sustain that unity of the Hare Krishna movement and durability and sustainability, this principle of cooperation was required. So here's Srila Prabhupada speaking on this point. I am glad to note that a meeting of all the presidents was held just recently in order to unify the temples. That is the process. Unless we work cooperatively, how this movement will go on. So my request to you all is that you maintain that spirit of cooperation always and help me to deliver Lord Chaitanya's message all over the globe. So I thank you very much, all of you, for appreciating my humble service, which I am trying to render as a matter of duty ordered by my Guru Maharaj. I request all my disciples to work cooperatively, and I am sure our mission will advance without any doubt. I'm very glad that you are trying with all the other GBC members to maintain all the various functions of our very large organization up to the standard as I have set it for you. This is most important. So please, always work cooperatively for this end. You write to describe me as a loving servant of the Lord. If you believe me so, then kindly help me in my service. That will help both of us. I want your cooperation fully. Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself appealed to his friends and helpers to help him in his mission, and what to speak of me? I am just an ordinary human being, so I need your help. Now our society is growing very rapidly all over the world, and the burden of the administration is taxing me too much and taking too much time. So I want that all you GBC men work cooperatively to manage things now, along with the other officers, and it is better if devotees can address their questions to you. And because I have now given you everything, you are able to answer all such questions from what you know. And if there is any difficulty, you can consult my books. Or you may write me if necessary. That was 1972. Good manager means he is able to satisfy everybody and live in cooperative manner with all the devotees. So if you manage the society, manage things nicely, every devotee can do tremendous work. By association with undesirable companions, we have learned so many bad habits. And similarly, by association with pure persons or devotees, we can become purified of our acquired bad habits. So constant association and working cooperatively with devotees is the prime and easy method to relearn our original good habit of Krishna consciousness. Now we are growing, and if we work cooperatively, our strength will also grow. And then the mission will not be checked in its progress. So please also continue to cooperatively join with Philadelphia Temple and the other temples for spreading Krishna consciousness by Mahasankirtan festivals like Janmashtami festival to be celebrated at New Vrindavan. I want that all my students will cooperate fully for expanding our movement, and in this way every center will be benefited. Please always keep the association of your good God brothers and sisters and work very cooperatively with them for pushing on this movement. If you are always engaged seriously in Krishna's service, Krishna will give you all opportunity for advancing in Krishna consciousness or blissful spiritual life. Study our literatures carefully and try to understand the philosophy nicely. And if you have any questions, you can ask them of the elder devotees who know the science. I have duly chanted on the beads sent by you, and they are returned to you herewith. Please always follow very strictly the regular principles and chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra daily on the beads. Study our literatures attentively and try to understand the philosophy nicely with the help of your God brothers. Always work cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness movement and chant Hare Krishna, and your life will be sublime. I am heard from others that you are doing very nicely and that you are making life members also. That is very good news to me. I am making many sannyasis here in America. And I am convinced that our movement must run on this extensive traveling and preaching system. You work cooperatively. How to perform this valuable service in the best way? By utilizing all our men and time very wisely. Push on vigorously, especially in the matter of distributing our literatures widely throughout India and showing always a good example of real Krishna conscious way of life. Today I have received one telephone call from Giriraj, and he has informed me that there is some disagreement among you leaders there in our Bombay center. This is not at all a pleasant situation for anyone. I am entrusting this huge task to all of you for working together cooperatively, for doing something wonderful. I can understand that you are responsible and cool-headed along with the others. So you take the hand in reconciling all differences. Now you are my elder disciples, and both of you are sannyasis and also advanced in Krishna consciousness. So these questions should not arise amongst you again and again. That means everyone is not conscientious. These things are not new to you. Why do you continually ask these questions? The GBC authority must be accepted under all circumstances. Not that there will be fighting amongst you. This fighting spirit will destroy everything. But what can I do? You American and European boys are trained up in this fighting attitude. Now put it aside and simply work cooperatively. So spreading this movement all over the world. The standards I have given you, now try to maintain them at all times under standard procedure. Do not try to innovate or create anything or manufacture anything. That will ruin everything. Simply do as I am doing and be always serious and sincere to serve Krishna, and he will give you intelligence how to do everything. I thank you very much for installing Radha Giridhari. From my childhood, I was very much fond of Radha Krishna, and now my good disciples are helping me to open so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world. It gives me so much pleasure. Now, introduce Rathayatra. That was my childhood activity. I want to see my disciples all over the world introduce two items: opening Radha Krishna temples and Rathayatra festivals. Do this under the protection of Guru Gauranga. Please do everything cooperatively, for you'll be happy, your countrymen will be happy, and all living entities will be happy. If one waters the root, then all the branches, twigs, and leaves are automatically nourished. That is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now, I want you all to work cooperatively, and very frankly, that is our process. Not that we shall always plot and scheme and write letters. Madhavisa is GBC man for South Pacific Zone, so his direction must be followed by everyone, and all the devotees there should address their problems to him for his consideration. Try to convince them to return to our society and work cooperatively. That they have gone away is not a good thing, and it is a deviation from our line of parampara. Rather, avoiding fault-finding and anarchy, they should keep our standards and work maturely and not cause factions and splitting. I'm not at all pleased at what they have done, but if they return, let us forget what has happened and go forward. As sannyasins, they may preach, and you may manage affairs. That will be very nice. We have got so much vital spiritual knowledge to distribute to the public, and they are in desperate need of it. The whole world is going to hell, and everyone is suffering. In light of this, how can we argue amongst one another and neglect our responsibility for reclaiming these fallen souls, for going back to home, back to Godhead? Whatever is done, is done. The main thing is we must not carry grudges or continue to quarrel amongst one another. So I'm asking you, personally, along with Tomal Krishna Goswami, to whom I'm sending a copy of this letter, to bury the hatchet. You know what that phrase means? Bury the hatchet. It's a Native American Indian phrase. Like in Europe, it was when two kings or princes would challenge each other to battle, they take their glove and throw the glove down before the other person. It's called throw the gauntlet. And so the American Indians, it was the hatchet. And, you know, they would declare war. They would put their hatchet in the ground before the other party were just declaring war. And when it was peace, take the hatchet and bury it. Bury the hatchet. And forget where you buried it too. So stop quarreling. The theme of these quotes are in the mood of cooperation. So what breaks apart cooperation is when there's dissension. So stop the dissension. Bury the hatchet. And join together to push on this movement cooperatively. I'm requesting you, therefore, to concentrate on preaching and kirtan and work cooperatively with Tamal Krishna Goswami, who is in charge there. Whatever imperfections or discrepancies may exist, if you all agree to my directions and cooperate in the right spirit, then everything will turn out. But it will require everyone involved to be responsible and cooperate in executing and following instructions of the spiritual master. Pushing on this movement, I had to face so many difficulties throughout since I left my home. I lived in Delhi at Sakur Basti because the rent was cheaper there, and I could not even take an apartment in Delhi. Then I was provided a room at Chippiwala Radhakrishna Temple, wherein I was able to keep my publication office. But by Krishna's grace, we are situated on a standard footing. Let us maintain this position cooperatively and always pray to Krishna that we may not spoil what Krishna has already given us. Try to make improvement more and more. In regards to your question about how the relationship between a sannyasi and the temple president should be, my hope is that you will all be able to cooperate together. The temple president is in charge, and the sannyasi should not contradict the instructions. Although, if he does see something wrong, or if he sees a fault or a defect, he should bring it out directly to the temple president, and then work it out in a Krishna-conscious way. Not that he will try to override the temple president's authority. I want you all work together cooperatively. Almost done. Now, we have, by Krishna's grace, built up something significant in the shape of this ISKCON, and we are all one family. Sometimes there may be disagreement and quarrel, but we should not go away. These inebrieties can be adjusted by the cooperative spirit, tolerance, and maturity. So I request you to kindly remain in the association of our devotees and work together. The test of our actual dedication and sincerity to serve the spiritual master will be in this mutual cooperative spirit, to push on this movement and to not make factions and deviate. We shall not think that this is my zone, that is his zone, just like the Indian and Pakistan nations are thinking. And then there's war. No. Lord Chaitanya has given us the task to spread his message all over the world, and any process which may be useful for facilitating this business that we shall gladly adopt. Never mind his zone or my zone. That is material designation. But we shall always do everything in cooperative spirit and avoid any fighting amongst us. That is Vaishnava attitude, because Lord Chaitanya has advised us to always offer all respects to others, especially to the devotees of the Lord. Ours is a cooperative movement with Krishna and the advancement of Krishna's movement at the center, and we must continue to sell as many books as possible, but discuss everything amongst yourselves and do it nicely without irritating anyone. That is the art. Conclusion. Please do your duly, please do your duty combinedly without any disruption of peaceful attitudes amongst yourselves. We are pushing our movement on the background of a peaceful atmosphere in the world, and we will show a little disturbance in our camp. If we show little disturbance in our own camp, that will not be a very good example. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. That is my special request to you all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. On Sunday at the Chicago Temple, the teenage girls put on a drama called The Age of Kali, a two-act drama. And in fact, one of the girls was the director. She took the script from online, and another girl made the costumes, another girl did the choreography, and they memorized their lines. It was very good. A good choice for the audience on Sunday, because it's like there were a lot of new people there, but they got the idea. Kali means quarrel. So cooperation is the opposite end of the stick. Quarrel, cooperation. So, cooperation, another way of saying cooperation, it's four words instead of one word. Give and take, love and trust. ISKCON is built upon give and take, love and trust. It's just like in your homes, in a marriage or amongst the children or whatever. When there's a cooperative mood, it's not everything always has to be my way or everything always has to be your way. But sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it goes my way, and nobody's keeping score. Now, when there is authority that needs to be exerted, like Prabhupada is speaking here with, you know, the temple president has authority. A sannyasi has spiritual authority, but he should subordinate his spiritual authority to the temple authority. If there's discrepancy, don't go to the people and say, oh, he's the temple president's bad. You go to the temple president and say, my dear temple president, I see some discrepancy. Let's talk it out. Let's work this out. But the sannyasi who has that spiritual authority subordinates his authority to the governing authority that the temple president has. And some of these other people, they were powerful sannyasis, and Prabhupada was saying, accept the authority of the GBC on my order. One question came during our discussion today. During Prabhupada's time, this is Kali Yuga, the age of Kali. How did issues that arose between one devotee and another devotee get resolved? Well, sometimes they didn't. But you can see how Prabhupada, he used his spiritual authority, in some cases at least, to appeal to the differing parties to work cooperatively. That was one. Then accept the authority of the person in this governing position. Accept your GBC. And some persons had a hard time accepting Tamal Krishnamuras because he was so strong. And some persons didn't. They were suffocated. But Prabhupada worked cooperatively and accepted his authority. He established a system and standards. And he expected his senior disciples, both sannyasis and GBC, and presidents, to maintain his standards. That's another thing that we spoke about today. What about if one idea has, one person or group of persons has one idea of standards, another person or group of persons has another idea of standards? How do you work it out? So there has to be some reference to Prabhupada's books and his teachings. But also someone has to not just be the referee, but have authority. Without that, it's chaos. Not artificially, but with spiritual qualification, some authority invested. And then work cooperatively with that authority. If something needs to be addressed, address it in a proper manner. Personal discussion with the individual, or someone that's in the position to do that, have that discussion with that person. There's the verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. In order to advance in spiritual life, one has to overcome these three difficulties: raga, bhaya, and krodha. Raga meaning not music, not that kind of raga, but attraction for sense enjoyment. Bhaya is fear of the personal existence in the spiritual realm. Fear because I've had so much problems with personal dealing, so the absolute realm must be without person. That idea is born of frustration. And krodha, raga, bhaya, and krodha. Anger. There are different kinds of anger, but the one that Prabhupada speaks of is there's so many ideas out there in the spiritual marketplace, I can't sort through the whole thing. So I just give it up out of frustration and anger. Out of dedication to our founder Acharya by hearing his messages regularly, studying his books carefully, taking guidance from those who are also experienced in that subject matter, and gradually developing a clear understanding of who is Krishna, why take shelter of him, how to take shelter of him, the process of devotional service. This will help us overcome these three things, and it requires a cooperative mood with Srila Prabhupada's teaching. That's something that should be part of the training that all devotees receive, not just here in St. Louis, but in the world. That being part of ISKCON means Prabhupada's teachings are ruling us. And we're happy that they are. We're voluntarily taking that happy position, being guided by his teachings. Ultimately, that's the determining light in what we do. So cooperating with, just as he's making appeal to his followers, cooperating with his teaching. Even the teaching that says cooperate. Follow that instruction. If for no other reason, just because the order of the spiritual master is there to do so. And by submitting ourselves to the spiritual master like that, spiritual progress will follow, and material well-being will follow that. I'll share one thing about cooperation, that little anecdotal part of my history growing up in Krishna consciousness. There was a point in time in New York where I'll share two things. Where there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name was Bali Mardan, who had a spiritual problem. And I'll just say part of it. I was in the Brooklyn Temple. I was Sankirtan leader at the time, and there were probably like 45 or 50 Sankirtan devotees. That's a lot of devotees going out distributing books and Harinam and everything every day. So I had to organize all of that, make sure they had books, make sure they had prasadam and kept their scores, and make sure that their spiritual lives, they chanted their rounds, and all just like a lot of care of the devotees, figuring out the spots and who would go with whom, and somebody got sick and all of that stuff, you know, every day. So I was like up to here in service. It was nice. When this devotee Bali Mardan was having a spiritual problem, I was so absorbed in service I didn't even know what he was doing. I just knew what I was doing and so many devotees that I was in charge of. But it turns out that It was a bad association with a woman who was pretending to be a devotee but wasn't a devotee, his wife. He married after so many years of practicing Krishna consciousness at a renounced position. Anyway, won't go into it, but they were doing lots of bad things. And one fine day, the temple president put his foot down and said, you know, you're out of here. And we're going to pack your bags and pack her bags and march you to the door and send you out. Because they were breaking all the principles. Without going into the detail. I didn't know, I was just doing Sankirtan, but it was very bad. So within a matter of days, two different things happened. Prabhupada wrote a letter, and to all the devotees in the temple who were like in a state of shock by what had just happened, some persons that were involved in like watching all this happen, they were relieved, and I was like, ah. So we put the letter that Prabhupada wrote right on the door, or by the door entering into the temple, because everybody goes into the temple so many times a day, like right at eye height, right by the door, and signed by Srila Prabhupada, basically saying, because I read it many times, my dear disciples, I want to thank you very much for following my instructions. I have always and consistently instructed that you should follow your authorities, and you were doing so. Do not think, the next paragraph, do not think that the deviations that Bali Mardan has done, that you are implicated in what he's done wrong. He's responsible. You're not responsible because you were following. The next paragraph, something to the effect of, continue on very nicely in your practices of hearing and chanting, and everything will be very nice, very, very quickly. Well, everything will be restored again to a nice position very quickly. Thank you very much. In other words, he was absolving us of the wrongs of this person that had done so many bad things. However, I didn't find this out till later. Those that were in the know and elder Vaishnavas, sannyasi, Jaidwaita Maharaj told me that he saw Prabhupada in Hawaii right around the same time. Prabhupada blasted him. You're a sannyasi and you didn't do anything? You knew this was going on? You didn't take measures? So, cooperation has its place. So, cooperation with the order of the spiritual master, so it was the order of those who are in the position to do so, particularly sannyasis and elder members of the community, to uphold standards. And those who are members of the community, this was just like, it made a very deep impression, so I'm sharing it with you. Those who are in the position to follow the indication of their temple leadership, not blindly close your eyes, but you know, in a cooperative manner, following the instructions of Prabhupada. And if there's some doubt, then send some message up that, you know, I'm not so sure about this, what's going on here. In this case, it was like awful things. Unmentionable things. The woman was a tyrant. She was mean and cruel. Bad. Anyway. Cooperation doesn't mean close your eyes and just, you know, go forward blindly. But it means in a recognizing the authority of the spiritual master, Prabhupada would remove authority figures if they were improperly situated. And those that were in a senior position could remove unqualified persons in an authority position, provided there's some suitable replacement. But there's no spiritual detriment to those who work cooperatively under the instructions that our founder Acharya gave. And amongst peers, it's Kali Yuga. If one, the spirit that Prabhupada is advising here is, while we're recognizing that we're in an atmosphere that's influenced by the age of Kali or the personality of Kali, we recognize that I'm less than perfect and others that I'm working in close quarters with are less than perfect, but our purpose is to please Guru and Krishna collectively. So let us make our best effort to work cooperatively in that way, and by so doing, just as Prabhupada is saying here in these letters, all parties become benefited. I benefit and the other person benefits, because the purpose is that Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, we get spiritual benefit. We become purified. If we lose sight of that, that Krishna's pleasing Krishna is our means of purification, then we're also implicated in material existence and becoming more entangled. Cooperation is not an easy thing in the age of Kali. It takes spiritual strength and faith in the order of the spiritual master. Let's see if there's any discussion. Yes?
Right, I have several questions. First is unrealistic expectations.
If we have what?
Unrealistic expectations.
Unrealistic expectations, okay.
We also set ourselves up for getting frustrated.
Yes.
So
I think I've heard that before. Go ahead.
So a couple times in what you read from Srila Prabhupada, there was a mention of, you know, a good manager, paraphrasing, a good manager is one that can satisfy everyone, you know, without irritating anyone. Corporate. So, knowing that this is the age of Kali, is that...
Where is there such a leader? But as a, he's instructing leaders that that's what you should aspire for, strive for. To satisfy all people all the time is mission impossible. But to strive for, that is to say, consider when decisions are taken, it's understood in advance not everyone is going to be happy. Like this example of speaking the truth palatably. It's one thing to speak the truth. It's another thing to speak the truth palatably. One of our god brothers, Bhadri Narayan, says his father taught him diplomacy means when you tell a person to go to hell and he says thank you. how to speak the truth, or how to make a decision where everyone is pleased when you know it's not going to happen. But so anticipate, before you make the decision, you communicate with the persons who will be affected rather than just making a decision. It's so difficult to do all the time. So difficult to, but more communication and more sensitivity to the needs and interests and concerns of the affected parties. So at least, you know, the courtesy of having some understanding of why this decision is going to be made, so that although I know that you're not going to like this, let me explain to you why we're making this decision. And if that consideration is given, a reasonable person will accept, well, I don't, you know, this is not the decision I would have made. But I respect your authority to make such a decision, and because you've dealt with me in a human way, in a very civil way, I'll accept. I'm thinking about a situation that just arose in Mayapur, because I'm special duty officer in Mayapur, and it was, the whole community was in an uproar over something. And there was reason to be in an uproar. And how to, you know, it wasn't just two sides, there were many sides, and whatever was going to happen would be just outrageous. So it was like a hot potato, and people just kept passing it to the next person, you know, you deal with it, you deal with it. Somebody dealt with, oh, we don't like that, you know. So it was very difficult, very difficult. And to bring about a situation where the community could become more peaceful than it had been for some number of months, there was some bending from all parties' sides. And because the very senior persons went there and hands-on sat with the various groups of people and heard and explained, and, you know, they took a decision in that kind of collaborative way. And at least, you know, in the last 48 hours, I haven't received the normal 30 mails per day that I've been getting on that topic. Seems to have quieted down a little bit. Knowing that not everyone, but if persons, because some persons that were on the hurt side were saying, well, basically, I think it was, you know, you made a good effort and you communicated and you tried to be fair, and So I'll accept. Anyway, it's not easy. Try it sometime.
So there's cooperation, and then sometimes I also feel the need to set boundaries.
Yes.
Could you please comment on striking that balance?
Depends on the circumstance. So it's hard to say in a broad way without the circumstance. Yes, it's necessary. So, without going into what the situation was that in Mayapur, again, because I've been so involved in this for some time, my thoughts are going there. And, you know, some person said, you know, okay, I'll cooperate, but, you know, I don't want to go past this line. And here's why. This is really important to me. And the other party heard. Okay. From my side, this is really important to me. You know, they set their boundaries. Well, okay. And then there's like somebody listening to both parties and saying, you know, this is good, you're cooperating. Depends on the circumstance. And in some cases, the message I'm sharing here is you may need to concede some of what your boundaries are for a higher purpose. For preserving or investing in a relationship. You know, but there's the limit. Yeah. She didn't finish her three questions, but go ahead. We'll come back. Go ahead.
I was listening to the things which you were reading with Maharaj. In that it was said like, if you see any defects in the leader,
I heard it,
So like we can sit and talk to him. So I was kind of thinking, is it okay to let him know about that?
Depends on the circumstance. It depends on the relationship. And depends on your mood. There's probably more variables, but there's some of them.
Or we should go to the higher level authorities.
Depends on the circumstance. You know, it's good if a leader has an open door. Meaning, you know, they invite people to come and speak. It's also good if the person that come and speak not in a, you know, fault-finding, critical mood, but in a, you know, caring and wishing to be of service mood. And when those two situations are present, then yes. Go and speak. That's ideal, supposing that's not exactly what's the situation. Supposing there is something legitimate, but I know there's some in my heart. And I might want to deal with that which is not right in my heart first. Although the point that needs some attention may also need some attention. Or I may approach someone who's in a mood of service, someone who is close to them, who, when they hear from that person, they won't feel hurt. Whereas if I were the one, it might be hurtful. not intentionally, but that may be the outcome, etc. Sometimes it takes little increments rather than, like, you know, full blast. That's true in relationships in general, not just, you know, somebody that's in an authority position. Supposing it's your daughter. It's okay if I talk about you, right? Okay. Supposing there's something that you'd like to see her do that she's not doing, or not do something that she is doing. You know, because you're her mother, there's that relationship is there, you can probably pretty much say whatever, and it's okay. But there may be some things that you know that they're sensitive, and so, you know, you may not right away say so directly. Maybe there isn't that situation, but maybe there is in some relationships. So, from the Bhagavatam's perspective, something that I like very, very much, very, very much, is in the first canto, chapter 7, having just established, Suta Goswami establishes that the way of purification or relief from this age of Kali is by hearing Krishna Katha. It's like, you know, a long series of verses where that's concluded. The very next verse, Shonaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages, says, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha. So the first thing that Suta Goswami speaks about is the Pandavas. And Prabhupada comments in the purport, what about Krishna Katha? And he answers, well, the Pandavas, they're, because their absorption in love of Krishna, it's also Krishna Katha. Speaking about Krishna's devotees, pure devotees like the Pandavas, that's also Krishna Katha. And then the scene that's described, they could pick any scene, but he picked, Vyasadeva picked the scene of Ashvatthama beheading the sleeping sons of Draupadi. And Arjuna taking a vow when he finds out. Angry, he takes a vow, I'll bring back the head of Ashvatthama, and as you're pouring oblations into the funeral pyre of your sons, you can stand on his head. I take a vow. And he went charging after Ashvatthama, who was running for his life. Fast forward, he brings Ashvatthama back. His sword is raised, ready to finish him. And Draupadi says, spare him. Don't kill him. You make it a vow for me, I remove you of the obligation of that vow. Don't kill him. You know the scene. And Yudhisthira supports, yes, don't kill him. That's his elder brother, who he never disobeyed. Don't kill him. Even though you've taken the vow, don't kill him. Bhima says, kill him. And Krishna also says, kill him. And if you think that there's some wrong in killing a brahmana, you don't need to worry about it, because he's Brahmabandhu. His behavior is not the behavior of a brahmana. He doesn't have the quality of a brahmana. He's not a qualified brahmana. There's no sin for killing him. Kill him. So what to do? Kill him, not kill him. And the consideration of Draupadi was, if you kill Ashvatthama, the person who's going to suffer, Kripi. So while according to Dharma, there's no sin for killing him, in fact, it's the right thing to do, he mercilessly killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. It's death penalty for such a person. That's Dharma. But and there's another Dharma. Who's going to suffer the consequences? So the lesson, one of the lessons embedded in all of that is, how are you to do the right thing in the right way? And the right way is when you consider the consequences of your actions. So like the question that you were asking, what should you do? Consider the consequences of your actions. So do the right thing, but do it in the right way. So it may be in this way, maybe in that way, maybe later, maybe not at all, maybe directly, maybe indirectly, maybe what not just like politically, but on a personal level. If I do this, what's going to be the... So this maturity. Not only do the right thing, but do the right thing in the right way. That's a novel idea. And challenging. Ideally, each one of us should be open to hear how we can improve ourselves. But because there's this little thing called false ego, we may be able to hear it when it's spoken this way and not be able to hear it if it's spoken that way. And we may be able to hear if it's spoken from this person, but not if it's spoken from that person, etc. So we may be hurt even with hearing the truth about ourselves. So what to speak of, and what's true for ourselves may not be true for another person. So it takes a lot of sensitivity, a lot of compassion, takes maturity. It's not an easy thing. But, you know, it's our responsibility. We have a community of devotees, and it's our responsibility to become qualified and thoughtful and sensitive and mature and careful in our dealings. Doesn't mean don't do anything, but it means be careful. Because what's wanted... Here's one of the things that Anuttama Prabhu teaches in his leadership training course. When there's feedback, what's wanted? And he trains it in such a way you say improvement. That's the goal, is improvement. It's not, you know, criticizing, bringing a person down, making them feel bad, punching them, you know. We don't want to do any of those things. We want improvement. That's the goal, improvement. So how can we get improvement? So there isn't going to be improvement if you don't say anything. There isn't going to be improvement either if it's said in the wrong way. How do you say it in the right way? That's the challenge. So it's not one stroke answer to your question. One of the first things that a Vaishnava should do when offering such a message to another person is to make sure that the place that it's coming from is a place that's pure. That's the first thing. This is the area of responsibility, that may be the area of concern. This is something I can take care of. Get it really clean inside here. So when I speak, that's the place it's coming from purity, from a position of service. Something else? Yeah.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm just like curious, not everybody is perfect,
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Starting with ourselves, each of us.
Yeah, including myself.
Yes, yes.
When we find fault with other devotees, I'm not talking about general people, but even within devotees, devotees, sometimes it is kind of it is good if we let them know what they're doing, or if we go through proper channel, if we are not qualified to tell that person,
how is what you're asking different than what she's asking? Mm-hmm. It sounds the same.
Yeah, but my question is sometimes we feel that even that person particularly knows what he or she is doing.
Yeah.
And they still continue to do. In that situation, should we ignore it because they themselves knew what they're doing, and should we ignore it or should we still?
It depends. It's a similar question. It's not an identical question, but very similar. What's inside here? That's your first, reflex. Doctor's test your reflex, cross your leg, and they hit here, leg goes up. Okay, reflexes are okay, but let's try the other leg. Okay, that one's okay. Reflex. So some situation like that comes, like reflex. Look inside your own heart. This is Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching I'm sharing. Immediately, just like second nature, you look inside your heart. Is my heart pure? So, and from that position, then let me make my heart pure. That's my first business. It's not like I can't say anything until I become a pure devotee, but my first business is that. Let me give my attention to that. Now, trying to be in the mood of simply serving in a pure way, here's this, it doesn't change the situation out here, it's still out here. But now I've taken responsibility for my own heart. Now, here's this person, and I know that they know. So, what will be the best way that I can serve them? And then a lot depends then on the person. It depends on your relationship with the person. And, if your relationship with the person is where you feel they don't feel threatened by you. You're not being judgmental or, that kind of a thing going on. It's not your nature or the kind of relationship that you have, then you can speak to that person. As I'm responding, I'm thinking of some situations where with disciples of Srila Prabhupada that are doing similar service to myself, I've been called upon by some of my god brothers to speak to a certain party because they know that I'm not this go get them, chop them down, and they'll be able to take it. So, and say it, then say it again. If it, in the right way, in the right time, in the right mood. And remember we had that discussion? This is another, because we had that discussion, here's another example, just so that you can refresh. Yeah, you're right, was the response. Thank you. So that way, you're assisting them in the service they want to do, and they don't see you as, like, you know, coming with weapons in your hand. You're trying to assist them. You're a well-wisher. You're caring about their welfare and their progress in Krishna consciousness, their, you know, service to others. So part of that is, you know, your own humility. Like being able to recognize and express before them, you know, I struggle with the same thing. But because we've had this other discussion, I thought I would just share with you. Here, remember we spoke about that? Here it is. If the mood is right and the relationship is right, then you can express directly. Even you know that they know.
I feel like, well, while they know what they're doing, why should we bring up the
matter? Well, think about it from the other way around. Supposing there's something that you know that you should do that will help you. Or the other way, something that you don't do, that if you were to do, it would be good for you. Something you shouldn't do is something you should do, and you know. And there's somebody that reminds you. That's not, if the relationship is right, it's thank you. You're my friend. Genuine, you're my well-wisher. You know me, you're not judging me, you're helping me to grow. Great. Thank you. And in whatever that may be. All right? Supposing, let's make an easy one. Supposing you're chanting japa and you start to fall asleep and somebody's next to you. You go, you know, oh, Hare Krishna. You know, they can wake you up again. It's okay. You know, if it's done out of kindness and not out of, like, you know. You get the idea. If the mood is right, it's okay. You're a friend. It's a gesture of friendship. And you're investing in that friendship by your action. If that's the place of your heart where it's coming from, it's fine. You have to know the person and that, you know, what that relationship is, and then it's fine.
It would not be counted like an apparatus.
No. Depends on the relationship. So it sounds like, from the way that you're asking the question, you're sensitive. You're sensitive to what their feelings are. Yeah. And so speaking nothing may not be what's helpful for them. Speaking nothing may be what's at a particular, you know, maybe they've just got it from 10 different sides and you're going to add another one. It's the wrong timing. So, and you don't say anything at that particular time. You know, discretion. But from your heart, don't give up the feeling of well-wishing. If there's any feeling of fault finding, give that up. But if the well wishing, continue. Maybe I need to wait for a more opportune time. I just had some situation where I waited several months before I could be face to face with a person and share certain things that I was concerned about. Because I knew that communicating some other way, it wasn't going to have a good result. this way. Sometimes. Then there's some other things, it's just like it's leave it up to Krishna. But sometimes it's I should be their friend. And part of their friendship is direct communication, even if it's multiple times. Some persons will say, wow, this is, if you see me doing this, could you please, and the, you know, let me know. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I don't know if they can take it. One time is enough. But, you know, you have to know the relationship. And it's important, I'm spending time with this because it's important in establishing relationships with the devotees that we have these kinds of, not oversensitivity, but not insensitivity either. We shouldn't be so oversensitive. We can't say anything. We can't feel anything. We have to, like, stay in a closet or something. No. Should be cultivating that. If you can't say something to that person about that particular thing, then one possible avenue is invest in some way in your relationship with that person without mentioning. Do something that makes an investment in that relationship. Something. Something for them or to them or helping them or well-wishing, something. Strengthen the relationship. So when the opportunity Krishna presents, then you can in the right mood.
I felt it is important because this is temple, this is Krishna's residence.
Yes.
And we have like kind of different people come to temple, not only the devotee level, but like initially when people come.
Sure.
So when they view it, this is a scenario, like they should set it like an exemplary. They should not, oh, okay, this is temple is something else. I mean, they when they come in, they come in a mood that, okay, God and devotee. And
yeah.
Then they see disunity or like
yes.
Some fault finding.
It hurts.
You know, it they should not propagate this message like because we are striving our best to make more devotees and associates.
That's right. That's right.
So when people find it and take it from there, it's
that's
not
right.
Going to help us.
That's right. As they say, I hear you. I hear you, sister. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.